as the Savior to heaven. Is willing to aid you. He will carry through. Good evening. Let's go to our Heavenly Father. Beloved God, our Father, we thank you again for this day and all the blessings that you have so richly given us. Father, we thank you for just seeing us through this day, and we pray that all that we have done thus far has been pleasing in your sight. We ask that you continue to walk with us and keep us within your embrace here at this congregation, that all that we do will be to your glory and your honor. We pray that you just bless every individual that is a representative of this body, and that we will all strive to walk and to live according to your will. We ask that as this year progresses, Father, if it be your will that we see many more days, that we will continue to grow in grace, we will grow in wisdom, we will grow in knowledge, and we will even grow in your favor, that all that we do, Father, others might see Christ in us. We just ask that now, as we go into this portion of this service tonight, that all that is done again would be pleasing to you. And this is our prayer in your beloved Son's name. Amen. In your bulletin, it is entitled this evening's service, which is a prayer and devotional, but it is entitled "We Ought to Be Praying," and that is something that it should be a resounding idea to the church, not only here but everywhere, that we, being the people of God, ought to continue to have a mind for prayer. And I think many times we tend to pray for the same things, and there's nothing wrong with that, but there are so many other things that we ought to be praying for and praying about. We know many times we don't even acknowledge the things that we should be showing thanksgiving for to God the way that we ought, and many times we overlook certain things, and from time to time when we're in meditation, it might come across our minds that, you know, I hadn't thought to thank God for that. And so tonight, I'm going to primarily ask of us that we go deep into our thoughts and ponder upon those things that we know that we should be in prayer for. We know that we should be petitioning God for. And one of the things that I look at, and if you will turn to Matthew chapter 9, Matthew chapter 9, beginning at verse 35, it says, "Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.'" And as we know this story, and we understand what Jesus was experiencing as he was in the midst of this crowd of people that were downtrodden, and many had so many issues, whether they had spiritual issues or physical ailments. These individuals needed someone to tend to them, someone to serve them, as we know this is going to be a continuous thing throughout this year. Service, service, service. And here Jesus said, as he looked about and saw so many people in need, he said, the harvest, look at all of these people that you can reach. Look at all of these people that need a tender hand upon them. Look at all of these people that need somebody to care for them. Look at all these people that need somebody to serve them and be there for them. Look at all of these people. They are ready to enter into the kingdom. But the problem is, there's nobody to tend to. That's what he meant when he said the harvest is plentiful. Jesus saw, he saw the potential of all the people that were there that were in need, and all that they needed to know was this message of the gospel. And mind you, and this might even be helpful from an evangelistic standpoint, that they show where Jesus was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Now, we talk about the gospel, and we talk about the gospel being the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, but also the gospel is the teaching of the church as well. And as you see, Jesus was doing that because he had not yet died. And so a part of the gospel is the teaching of both the head and the body. And so as we are spreading the gospel, we should be able, we should be capable of sharing with individuals the truth about what the church can do for you. You see, the kingdom would have no value unless the individuals who come into it see a value or see a benefit. You don't go to an event, or you don't go to a restaurant, or you don't go to even a movie if you don't see anything that you're going to benefit out of it. And so God surely was not going to present the kingdom without it having benefit. And so when individuals that are in need know that there is a place where their needs can be met, both physically and spiritually, then these individuals will draw nearer to this place. Just like the hospital. If you knew that the hospital did not provide adequate care, would you go there? No. If you knew that the restaurant didn't provide good food, would you go there? No. Well, if you knew that the church did not provide your necessities for your spiritual life, your necessities for your spiritual growth, your necessities even for some of your physical needs, then you wouldn't go there. Jesus preached about the kingdom because he wanted to present the value of it, and it being his kingdom, he began to heal people and draw people in, but there was nobody, once he got them into the kingdom, once he could bring them in, could any of these people tend to them. So again, we need to understand that there should be a prayer, a calling of prayer for laborers in the kingdom. We should be seriously praying for labor. You want to see the church be something. You want to see the church do something. Pray for folk that are going to work. And first and foremost, pray for yourself. Be in prayer for what you can be doing to bless the weary, to bless the sick, to bless the depressed. It would be very interesting if we had the ability to go from door to door in this neighborhood and find out all of the spiritual needs of every individual. If you were able, if there was some type of device that you could go from door to door and run it across a person's door and say, well, they got marital problems. And you go to the next door, well, this individual is suffering from cancer. And you go to the next door, this individual has teenagers with issues. Go to the next door, alcoholic. You go to the next door, drug addict. Now, mind you, the first thing that comes to mind to anybody that even when you're taking on a job, a new job, there is an element of fear. There's an element of fear in the back of your mind because you like, nobody wants to take on a new job that's going to be hard and challenging and going to cause you sometimes to work long hours, lose sleep, and be in uncomfortable situations. Not everybody wants that. I understand. But guess what? That's a part of being in this kingdom. And if we're trusting in God and if we're giving God what is rightly His, God is going to provide us with the necessities. He's going to provide us with what we need to carry out His will as simple as possible. The problem is when we only have two or three people that are doing the work of 20 or 30 people, then that's when nothing gets done. We need to pray for workers and first and foremost, pray for ourselves as individuals. This is going to be an ongoing appeal for us to prepare our hearts and prepare our minds, prepare our lives, prepare our time, prepare our money. To work. So at this time, I'm going to ask for every individual that is willing. You might not be totally equipped yet, but at least if you have the will, God will make the way. But if you are willing, request prayer for yourself tonight so that we'll know who to pray for. If you are willing, and just like I said, it might, I can't promise you that everything that we do, when we get to the point that we need to get to start working, I'm not going to promise you that there's just going to be a bunch of easy days and a bunch of good people are going to fall into the doors with pocketbooks full of money, praise on their lips, joy in their hearts. I'm not here to promise you that because I have not seen that in all my years in the church. I haven't even read that in the Bible yet. As a matter of fact, I think that might only exist in one place. Go figure. But if we will just trust Him, if we'll just put our hope and our trust in Him, who is the cause of us being here tonight, then we're going to have some rough days. But I would rather live out this life having some rough days doing the Lord's will than having some good days and a one-way ticket We need some people that are going to pray, Lord, help me to do whatever I need to do when you need me to do it. I promise you, a lot of us have not experienced the work that he's calling for. But it's time. I'm going to ask you to pray for me. Is there anybody else that's ready to be prayed for? You know, sometimes I understand the fear. You know, I might have told this story before, but in 1986, I was awakened about 3 o'clock in the morning, and they said, get down to the armory. Said, we're flying out to Libya. We're going to meet with the colonel, and we're going over at this very moment. The palace of Muammar Gaddafi is being bombed. And your job, your mission is to go in and capture him dead if you have to, and bring him back to President Reagan. I knew when I signed up, as a matter of fact, about 30 years ago, next month, or April rather, that there was always the chance that I would go into combat and that I might die. But I had spent 3 good years dodging it. 3 good years not having to worry about it. And then, y'all remember when Hillary Clinton was debating Barack and said, you get that 3 o'clock in the morning phone call? Well, I got it. And you have to get all your stuff. Can't call your mama. I wasn't married to Pat. Didn't even know Pat then. We couldn't call. Only the ones that were married could contact your spouse. The rest of us, your parents don't know anything. Here's the chance. You go over there. You carry out the mission. The mission's successful. Come back. They dropped the confetti. Everything all well and good. On the other hand, you go over there, get killed. Your parents get a phone call. They didn't even know you were out of the country. I remember the pit in my stomach. I was already preaching. But I remember the pit in my stomach knowing that this is serious business. I could die going over doing this. But was I going to back out of it? No. I had already signed up for it. I wore the uniform. I carried the name. I carried the weapon. I ain't backing out. We all getting ready about to board the plane. And we get a call. And the colonel said, Gaddafi called the president and said he didn't want any problems. He had a 6-year-old daughter that died in the bombing. Because we saw the bombing take place. I felt bad about the 6-year-old daughter dying, and I had I had some problems about that, about this child, you know, in the middle of this, but that's a part of war. But there was a sense of relief on one hand, but there was a sense of the test was in front of me, and I was a lot like Abraham with the knife over Isaac, and I was ready to go, knowing that the consequences may have been in my favor and may not have. All of that being said, we're supposed to be wearing the name. We're supposed to be wearing the uniform. Many of us have not seen true spiritual combat. Some of us have. Some of us have the scars to prove it. But when you're really being tested, are you going to be ready to go in when the call comes? I'm going to call Brother Cedric up. I want to ask Cedric to pray for all of us and pray that we have some laborers that are going to be ready whenever the call comes. Because God is waiting. May the God and Spirit of peace rest on each of us and give us that courage that in due time we will be able to stand boldly and walk into the battlefield knowing that Jesus is our general and we will not be defeated. Let us stand.
From the sunshine and the wild I roam, farther and farther away. Hey, calling today, calling today. Jesus is calling, tenderly calling.
Any other prayer requests from anyone? If not, Brother Kevin, will you close us out?